Father, we come before Thee, thankful that You have brought us again together to hear a message from Thy Word, O Lord. I pray that You'd fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and give me an unction from on high to proclaim boldly Your Scriptures, O Lord, that the Word might go forth with power and that it might be effectual to Your people. And, O Lord, may we rejoice in the wonderful truths that we read about tonight and that we hear about tonight. May we rejoice and the fact that You've revealed these things to us and that You've revealed our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us, Father. We love You, we praise You, we thank You for allowing us to gather together. It's a privilege that we don't take lightly to be able to come and hear Thy gospel, the one true gospel, preached and proclaimed. We love You, we thank You for Your mercy and grace towards us at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John, we'll be in chapter 2 tonight, starting a new chapter in this study of this wonderful book. 1 John, we'll read verses, we're going to actually start in chapter 1, and then we'll read all the way to chapter 2 verses. We'll read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 along with our text. The name of the message tonight is called The Advocate. The Advocate. Let's start in verse 5 of chapter 1. This then is a message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Tonight we'll be looking at the first verse of chapter 2, where we see it plainly stated in the Scriptures that God's people have an advocate. We have an advocate. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous one. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, what is an advocate? What is an advocate? An advocate is a mediator. An advocate is a lawyer. An advocate is one that pleads your case and who pleads your cause. God's people have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. The Scripture plainly declares that here. We have a mediator, beloved. And praise God, we do have a mediator. Because in our own natural state and who we are, we could never approach God. He's holy, and we're unholy. He's sinless, and we're sinners. We need an advocate, don't we? We need someone to go to the Father for us. We need an advocate. When we sin, beloved, we have somebody who can go to the Father for us. And what's His name again? Jesus Christ, the righteous. My little children. And remember, John's writing to God's born-again, blood-bought people, isn't he? That's who he's writing to. He's writing to God's people. He's not writing to everybody in the world. We know that. This is a letter addressed to God's people. My little children, he calls them here. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And let's look at these wonderful words here. And I know we're see, like we always see when we look in Scripture, good news for sinners. This is good news for sinners. Good news. Now, a lot of people, had a lot of talks with different preachers this week, a lot of people just do not think they're sinners. They just don't. And you've heard me say this many times, and I'm sure it's true of you too, before the Lord saved you. You didn't think you were a bad person at all. Oh, but we were, weren't we? We were wicked. But we didn't think we were. But when God shows us what we are, which is a sinner, and God shows us that even after we're saved, we still sin, don't we? To our shame, we shouldn't, but we do, because we're sinners. We wish we could never sin again. That's what we desire. That we would never sin again. And one day we will never sin again when we're in his presence. But look what it says here, though. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's the perfect situation, right? Right? And there's also something else being implied there, too, that we just don't willingly sin. We don't set out to, you know, we used to drink sin like water. We don't desire that anymore. Even though we are sinners still, we repent over our sin now when we never did before. That you sin not. And if any man sin, no, right? We have an advocate with the Father. Now he's the one who we've sinned against. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So marvel. Marvel at these wonderful words. Marvel. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, but when you sin, remember this, always remember this, when we sin, remember this. We have an advocate. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, and he often does, doesn't he? You know, I can sit in my chair and think things. You know, we all can, can't we? But when we're convicted, we go to Christ, don't we? We have an advocate. We who are the blood-bought people of God, we have an advocate, don't we? We have an advocate with the Father. The born-again, blood-bought believer has a mediator. And our mediator is right now, right this second. And the next second that'll pass until it's all over. God's people have an advocate in heaven. And when we're in glory, we'll see the advocate. We'll see our advocate face to face. But the saints that are still here on earth while we're in glory, they have an advocate. Right? Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the advocate of his people right now. We have a great high priest right now who's our advocate right now, right this second. We have a savior right now. We have a justifier right now. And he's with the Father, beloved. He's at God's right hand. He's in the very presence of our great God. And think of this. His very presence before God. Now let this just hit home. His very presence before God is our acceptance. You ever think of that? His very presence at the Father's side is our acceptance. Because we're in him, right? He's the head. We're the body. So for the sinner whom Christ represents, and that sinner whom Christ represents, for us to be accepted of the Father, do you know Christ doesn't have to say anything? You ever hear people say, oh, he's up there, he's just pleading. He's just pleading for us. Do you know he doesn't have to say a word? He doesn't even have to say a word. The Bible says this, he maketh intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In Romans 8:34, the scriptures proclaim, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want you to listen to what John Gill says about this, and I think this is just absolutely wonderful. Listen to what John Gill says about this intercession that Christ, that he's interceding for his people, that he's our advocate. Listen to this. Which is done not by a vocal prayer, as in the days of his flesh on earth, or supplicating an angry judge, or as challenging a point in the court of heaven, but by the appearance of his person for us. His appearance before God is our intercession, because we are accepted in him. We're accepted in him. His very presence before God is our acceptance. He doesn't even have to say a word, beloved. Not a word. Gil goes on to say this. By the presentation of his sacrifice, by offering up the prayers and praises of his people, by declaring it as his will that such and such blessing be bestowed upon them, by seeing to it that the benefits of his death are applied to those for whom they were designed, which intercession of Christ proceeds upon the foot of satisfaction made. Christ's intercession is based upon the satisfaction that he made for us before God. That is wonderful news. Wonderful news for sinners. So all our acceptance before God is in Christ. It's not based upon anything in us at all. It's all based upon Christ. He's our advocate. And he continues to be our advocate, and he will always be our advocate. Always. He's our Savior. One day we're going to behold him, and that'll be glorious, won't it? That'll be glorious. To drop this veil of flesh and to see our Savior face to face and to be done with the trials and tribulations of this world. Oh, it'll be glorious, won't it? It'll be absolutely glorious. No more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. Oh, to be in the presence of the Almighty. All the Lord Jesus Christ has to do, Brother Mahan says, make intercession for us, is to be where he is, in the Father's presence. To be in the Father's presence. He's the head, and we're the body, and we're in him. And the believer in Christ is accepted in him. Accepted in Christ. God has accepted his sacrifice, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, God accepts us in Christ. He's our advocate, beloved. Now, when we sin, again, the Father does not look upon us. No, he doesn't look upon you or me for perfection, because we're imperfect, aren't we? We're imperfect. He don't look to us for perfection. No. No, he looks at our representative. And what's his name? Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous, singular. The righteous. He's our righteousness, isn't he? The scripture says that he's the Lord our righteousness. That's what he is. And he's the righteous one. There's no one else that's righteous, right? Because we're all born. The scripture says there's, out of all the sons and daughters of Adam, there's none righteous, no, not one. But note, the scripture calls Christ the righteous. Because he's perfect. He's the seed of the woman. He's sinless. Oh, my. Wonder of wonders, beloved. Wonder of wonders. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And who is this advocate? Well, the answer is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures here declare. The righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And who is he? Well, he's God incarnate in the flesh. He's not just an ordinary man. No. He's perfect in thought. He's perfect in word. He's perfect in deed. He goes about and does the Father's will. And what's the Father's will? For him to save his people from their sins. He's the substitute. He's the great substitute. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Keep your finger, though, there in 1 John, because we'll be going back. Where do you find the word Jesus mentioned in one of the first places in the New Testament? Well, this very familiar verse is one of the first places where we see his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior, doesn't it? Right? He shall save his people from their sin. It doesn't say, here, Savior, from your sins with a little help from you, does it? It doesn't say that at all. It says, he shall save his people from their sins. And he does it alone. Praise God. We're going to look at the mercy of God in Sunday school this week. And one of the things I'm going to open up with is, aren't we thankful that the mercy of God towards us is not based upon our doing? I'd be in a heap of trouble. No, the mercy of God towards us comes in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our acceptance. He's our advocate. And he saves his people from their sins. And notice there's no doubt in that verse, is there? There's no, well, he might, you know, if people let him. There's nothing like that. And these little words, we've got to look at these. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall, without a doubt, save his people from their sins. And we as believers can say, we know the truth of that verse, don't we? Because he saved me. All by his almighty power. He did it all. He did it all. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And the believer proclaims that he's our advocate too, don't we? The scriptures proclaim that, and we proclaim that too. We proclaim that he's our advocate. He's my mediator. Is he yours? And his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the one who came to save his people from their sins, the scriptures say. God incarnate in the flesh, Emmanuel. Wonder of wonders, God himself became a man. Why? To save his people from their sins. And that's who our advocate is, beloved. Never forget, that's who our advocate is. God himself. Is it any wonder then the scripture says, who can condemn us? Who can bring any charge then to God's elect if we're justified by God himself? Well, no charge can be brought against us, can it? No. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the anointed one. He is, and he also, remember this too, he's the appointed advocate, beloved. He's the appointed Savior. And bring it home. He's my appointed advocate. Is he yours? Oh my! It's appointed by God that he be my advocate. And if you're a believer, it's appointed by God that he be your advocate. That's glorious. That's absolutely glorious. And he's the approved one, isn't he? Isn't he? In God's eyes, we're not approved in our flesh, are we? But he's the approved one. He's the one who satisfied God's justice and law in our place. He's approved by God. And he is the Messiah. He's the sent one. He's the one the scriptures proclaim in the Old Testament. Remember what we saw on Saturday? This day. Or Sunday, I mean Sunday. Saturday. Sunday, this day, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Oh my. In your ears. He and he alone is the one God sent. And every blood-bought child of God proclaims that he is my mediator. He is my advocate. And what's his name? Jesus Christ the righteous. That's my advocate. And think of it, the Lord Jesus Christ, had he not come here to die in the place of his people, then none of us would be saved. You ever pondered that? If he hadn't left heaven, if he hadn't been sent by God, right? None of us would be saved. But praise God, he purposed and planned, in eternity to save a people, didn't he? Otherwise, not one of us would be saved. Why? Well, because the Father only accepts one who is holy and righteous, and one who is without sin. Well, the Father accepts us in him because he's holy and he's righteous and he's without sin. And again, all our acceptance before God is in Christ Jesus our Lord, nowhere else. Meditate upon the personal and particular fitness and suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ to this office as our advocate. In what we have looked at alone so far, and the fact that he alone is righteous. He alone is righteous. Think of this. We are by nature sinners because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. Therefore, we're in desperate need of an advocate, aren't we? We're in desperate need of an advocate. We're in desperate need of a Savior. Therefore, he who undertakes to be the advocate for sinners himself must be sinless, right? He must be. In order for us to be in God's presence, he who undertakes to be our advocate, the advocate for sinners, must be sinless himself. And marvel at what the scriptures proclaim right here in our text. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If any man sin, this is written to believers, we have an advocate who is with the Father. The scriptures here before us proclaim that there's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of his people, the Messiah, the sent one. He alone is righteous. He alone. He alone is the sinless one. And look at these words closely. Don't just read them and go, I know that. Marvel at these. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. Look at these words. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate before God. We have a mediator. The scriptures do not proclaim if any man sin, he's lost. It doesn't say that, does it? And this, I mean, in the context of believers, because we know this is written to believers. It doesn't. This text doesn't say if any man sin, being a believer, he's lost. It doesn't say that. Now, we know lost men are lost. And left in their sin, they'll always be lost, because we were there. It does not say if any man sin, he'll have to get re-saved, does it? For believers. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if any man sin, he's forfeited his place in the kingdom. It doesn't say that, does it? And it doesn't say if any man sin, he no longer has a mediator. It doesn't say that, does it? Marvel at what the scriptures here say. If any man sin, now this again is written to believers. And all those statements I meant, read there, are all to believers. Right? If any man sin, he has an advocate. My. He has an advocate. You know who needs an advocate with the Father, beloved? Sinners. Sinners. Sinners need an advocate. Sinners need an advocate. A man who is not a sinner doesn't need an advocate before God. A man who's not a sinner in their minds feels like they don't need an advocate. A man who feels like they're not a sinner doesn't need a mediator. The question is, are you a sinner? Has God shown you that you're a sinner? A lot of people do not believe they're sinners, but you know, they are sinners. And God's people, we know we're sinners. We know we're sinners. We've been showing, as the old timers used to say, we've been showing our sinnership. The old preachers used to say that. I like that, because that's what it's true, isn't it? We've been showing our sinnership. We've been showing that we need an advocate. We've been showing that we need a mediator. And praise God, by His grace, we have one. We who are His people. We who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we have one. And His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. It says we have an advocate. You know, so many people are trying to find salvation in a church or in a profession they made or in their baptism or something they do or something they have to continue to do. But you know who they're not looking at? They're not looking at Christ. They're looking to their own works. They're looking to themselves. But this fellow here, before you was a sinner. And I need an advocate. I need an advocate. I need a mediator. Do you? Look again at this wonderful text. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, the Apostle John here desires to steer God's people to look to Christ and Christ alone. He's doing what every preacher does. He's pointing the believers to Christ. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. This shows that we don't have a license to just go and do whatever we want. This speaks against antinomianism. And note, though, John, knowing we are sinners, and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he brings forth that we are not to despair in our sin. We're not to despair in our sin. As one grace preacher said, we repent and confess our sin. And we look to Christ and we move on. We move on. We carry on. John does not hold out the possibility here that any man can be totally free from sin. We know that. Let's go back in chapter 1. We know that. We know that no man can be totally free from sin or woman. This would be contrary to his own words, which he spoke in verse 8, 9, and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, but we don't live in sin, do we? It's not the trend of our lives. We've looked at that in the first chapter, didn't we? It's not the trend of our lives. We're not to indulge the flesh. We're not to walk in disobedience. We're not to behave like the world of unregenerate men. And the true grace of God in the believer's heart does not condone or excuse his own sin. But it condemns it, doesn't it? We own our sin. You ever notice the flesh always wants to pass it on to someone else? It's someone else's fault. But the believer says, no, that's my sin. And we confess it before our Lord, don't we? And when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we bow down in prayer and cry out to our God, don't we? And we have a continuous desire to be like Christ, don't we? And to glorify our Lord. True believers mourn over their sins, don't we? Do you mourn over your sin? I mourn over mine all the time. We confess them and we seek to avoid them. And as I mentioned earlier, we repent and confess our sins before God and we look to Christ and we carry on. Because we have an advocate, beloved. Jesus Christ, the righteous, who's the one who paid for all our sins. All our sins. And note, the text does not say if any man, it doesn't say if any man's holy, does it? No. It doesn't say if any man's holy, he has an advocate. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if any man's perfect, he has an advocate. No. The scriptures bring comfort to God's people who are saved sinners. Does this not bring comfort to you? It brings comfort to this old saved sinner. It sure does. To read this. It fills my lips with praise to know that if any man sin, and that's me, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I have an advocate. Oh, praise God for the advocate. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a little note here. I want us to note something here too. Look at this. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Remember, who's writing this? Who's writing this epistle? It's John the Beloved, right? It's the disciple who laid his head on Jesus' breast. It's one of the three in the inner circle. And some say he was probably the closest to the Lord. Note there. Note this. This is marvelous. Note this. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John uses the little word, we. We. Have you noticed that? We. The beloved disciple includes himself. He includes himself. Note the humility that's brought forth here, beloved. He's writing to the saints of God, right? He's writing to the saints of God. He's writing, he's not, yeah, I've heard, when I was in religion, I heard preachers that you thought, these men must be sinless the way they talk. And we're all just a bunch of unworthy sinners. Well, I found out he's just like me, you know, even though he didn't put himself across that way. This is John the Apostle, and he's included himself by using the word we. He's not talking from some superior position, is he? He's not lording himself over the saints of God. The beloved disciple is saying, we have an advocate. We sinners. See, sometimes we take these men that we read of in the scriptures and we put them on pedestals. But notice the humility here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous. He's not looking down on his brothers and sister. He places himself on the same level as they are. My, and always remember, beloved, a way for us to always remember this truth is to never forget the pit we were in when the Lord pulled us out of that. The pit we were in. We couldn't save ourselves, could we? But he saved us. He saved us. Oh, remember the pit the Lord took you out of, the pit of sin. And always remember this, that we're but saved sinners. Always remember, we're but saved sinners. And we need a mediator, every one of us. Even John here, the beloved disciple, says, we have an advocate. Oh my. John therefore brings forth, and also remember this too, John here brings forth the personal need for all believers of a mediator. That includes the apostles, all the believers who have ever lived, all the preachers, all the every single one of God's blood bought people. We're on the same level, beloved. We have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. I think that's important for us to note because this is the beloved apostle, and he does not vault himself over the saints of God. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. John knew that he could not be a mediator for anyone. He couldn't even be a mediator for himself. John knew this. And if anyone thinks they are a mediator between God and man, they are lying to themselves, and they're lying to the people that they're saying that they're a mediator for. There's only one mediator between God and man. A man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that all means his people. Same as what we're seeing in verse 2 there. That propitiation sacrifice is only for the elect of God. Only for God's people. So marvel at the humility that's being brought forth here. John did not say, you have an advocate when speaking to the saints of God. There, he didn't say, you have an advocate. He said, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. Again, putting himself on the same level. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. the same level as the saints of God. All the born-again, blood-washed saints of God have one mediator, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Just one. Just one. Your mediator, if you're a born-again believer, is the same mediator as mine, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's wonderful. Hebrews 7, verses 25 to 27 says this, wherefore he is able, oh, let that sink in, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy. Oh, he's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's perfect. He's separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. That's our Savior, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. No, because he's sinless. He's offering himself up as sacrifice for the sins of his people and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Oh, what an advocate we have, beloved. Jesus Christ, the righteous. So who needs an advocate? Well, it's plainly proclaimed that sinners need an advocate. And that's what we are by birth. That's what we are by nature, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And think upon this blessed truth, you who have Christ as your advocate. The Redeemer's claim to this office of an advocate as the only advocate of God's people who are sinners by birth is founded on the call of Jehovah. Founded on the call of Jehovah. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 5 says this, and this is talking about the appointment of God. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. In Hebrews 5, 6, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is our advocate by appointment of the Father. By appointment of the Father. And we have an advocate with the Father. We have a high priest, beloved, who makes intercession for us. And how he's made intercession for us, right? Because he's made full satisfaction. He's made full satisfaction before God for all his people. Because it's he who has purchased us with his own precious blood. And because of his perfect sacrifice in our place, our sins, now let this sink in, because of his perfect sacrifice in our place, our sins are not laid to our charge. They're not laid to our charge. He's the advocate with the Father. And always remember that it is against the Father whom all our sin is committed. Right? And to whom satisfaction is made. God, Christ died a sacrifice for us before God. Because he's the one who had to be satisfied. His law had to be appeased. His justice must be satisfied. And it's God who we sinned against. And this is marvelous. We have an advocate with the Father. With the very one we sinned against. And his name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And remember, it is Christ in the office of priest that he's our advocate. He's our mediator. He's our God. And God ordained this to be so, that Christ would be our advocate. So the believer can marvel then that God purposed, God planned for us, for we who are his people, that he purposed and he planned that Christ, Jesus Christ the righteous, would be our advocate. My. And he did it all in eternity. He purposed and planned all that in eternity. My goodness. You who are the blood-bought saints of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is your advocate. He's your sworn advocate. And Christ is our advocate. He's fully appointed to this office by Jehovah, by the Father. And how precious this is to the believer. How wondrous this is to the believer in Christ. What comfort this can bring God's people. Although we are saved, yet we are still sinners, but we have an advocate, beloved. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the believer's advocate constantly. 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 We have him as long as life endures, and then we have him in eternity. Oh my. And the believer in Christ proclaims what? That this is all by God's grace. Never forget that. That this is all by God's grace. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again and marvel at the wonderful truth that's set here before us. Again, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the advocate for his people. He's our propitiation. He's the propitiation for our sins. And propitiation means to cover, to atone, to pardon, and reconcile. We'll look at that a little more in depth next week. But think of this. God's wrath for our sins has been appeased. It's been appeased in Christ. I remember hearing an old preacher one time, he said, God's law and justice against his people was extinguished at Calvary's cross. You ever think of that? You know, rage and fire and it gets extinguished. Why? The fury of God's wrath extinguished in Christ. Oh my! The wrath of God is being appeased by the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of his people against their sins. He died as our substitute on Calvary's cross. And he died not only for the Jewish believer we see here, but also for the Gentile, which is the reference to the world. He died for the Jewish believer in Christ, and he died for the Gentile believer in Christ. That's right. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And marvel at this. Marvel again at the truth set here before us. The Lord Jesus Christ in his office as our great high priest is our advocate. He's our advocate. He's the mediator. He's the propitiation of all of God's elect. Out of every generation, our Lord has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And he is the propitiation for our sins before God. Look at this in John 17. We'll read verses 5 to 11. We'll see that he's not the advocate or mediator for unbelievers, though. Neither is he the propitiation for unbelievers, for those who are non-elect. But for his people, for those who were given to him by the Father in eternity, he's our propitiation, beloved. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's praying for his people. And all are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now let's go back to 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 1. And we read this again with that in mind, with what we just read there. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Remember, this is written to God's people. people. And look what our Lord, what's said about our Lord here. He's called Jesus Christ the righteous. Marvel again here. Set before us the grace of God, that it's God himself, the Word of God, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who was numbered with the transgressors and who bore the sin of many and who made intercession for the transgressors. He is called Jesus Christ the righteous. And he was righteous in his life, and he was righteous in his death, and he's righteous right now, isn't he? Because he's God. He doesn't change. He doesn't change, beloved. Now think upon our text, which proclaims one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is right here, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now the Greek word here for righteous means this: righteous, observing divine laws, in a wide sense, upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. Innocent, faultless. Innocent, faultless, guiltless. Used of him, being Christ, whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God. That only speaks of Christ, doesn't it? Only Christ. And therefore needs no rectification in the heart or life. And then the last sub-meaning is this: approved of or acceptable of God. Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's who he is. That's who he is. And this, all those things that I just read can only be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of this, as I was just looking at this, it says innocent, faultless, guiltless. Now marvel at this. It said that he presents us faultless before his throne. Because we're in him. Because we're in Christ, beloved. Because we're in him who is faultless. Oh my. So all these things can only be said of Christ. He's the only one who's the righteous one. He's the only one. We all come out of the womb sinners. But Christ is the seed of the woman. He was conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit of God. He had no earthly father. Turn over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And we'll look at verses 11 and 12, and then we're close. Shortly after that. Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12. Consider what is spoken of the Messiah here in verses 11 and 12. He shall see the travail of his soul. God shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Remember what Brother Henry Mahan used to always say: if you get two words out of every message a gospel preacher preaches, this is what we have: substitution and satisfaction. Christ is the sinner's substitute, and God is satisfied with the substitution of Christ. So look at this. So, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Doesn't say all, but it says many. And we know that many is a number that no man can number. And, oh, many. For he shall bear their iniquities. That's what Christ did for us. That's what he did for us. The sinless one bore our iniquities, paid for everything God demanded for them. Sinless, spotless sacrifice. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Aren't you thankful he made intercession for us? Aren't you thankful he's our advocate right now? Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm reminded daily how much of a sinner I am, and I'm so thankful that I have an advocate. Oh, I have an advocate. Do you? Oh, I pray if you don't, that God make it so. Oh, my. And here we see once again that Christ is the fulfillment of that promise that we just read there. Truly, all the promises of God are in Christ, yea and amen. And he is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one who gave himself as a sinner's surety. And he is the offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. For his people. And the character of the advocate, think of this too, we're going to close scene here. The character of the advocate is in his name. The character of the advocate is in his name. He's called Jesus Christ the righteous. He's righteous. He's righteous in the view of Christians and every part of his character, isn't he? We look at Christ and in every single part of his character we see his righteousness. We see his holiness. We see his suitability. And the only suitable Savior of sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ. But his character is in his title here. Jesus Christ the righteous. He's righteous before God and he's our righteousness before God. He's perfectly approved by God. God will see the travail of his soul and shall be what? Satisfied. Satisfied. And he is righteous in the views of Christians again in every part of his character. He's the Lord, our righteousness. And he's the object of our worship, isn't he? And our adoration. And he alone is righteous in all that he says and all that he does. And this is the believer's hope right here. Set before us is the believer's hope. He alone is the believer's rest. And his title before us sums up who he is. And he alone is holy. He alone is sinless. He alone is the Lamb of God. And his name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Righteous. And God's people say, praise his mighty name. That's my Savior. That's my Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to gather together, allowing us to look into thy word. And oh, wonder of wonders, O Lord, you who are God incarnate in the flesh, you who are the righteous one, it's you who is our advocate. We who are sinners, we who are your people, we're but saved sinners, O Lord. But you are our advocate. You are our mediator before God, and we praise your mighty name for allowing us and for saving us, allowing us to worship you, allowing us to cling to you, O Lord, because you have revealed yourself to us. You are the one who's made us willing in the day of thy power. What a privilege and honor it is for the believer to say, Christ is my advocate. And we only say that because you have made it so, Lord. We love you and praise you and thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace towards us. In and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.